This morning's Bhagavatam class was from a very beautiful verse in the fourth canto. In Budapest, came in last night, stayed up late trying to do my quota of writing, and gave a relatively brief class this morning, trying to write and do whatever organizational things are needed, and then leaving it 2 in the afternoon for afternoon of Sankirtan. Let me read just the verse to you. Purport is a little lengthy. If you want to look at it in the 22nd chapter, text 11, Prithu Maharaj meeting with the Kumaras, he says, on the contrary, even though full of all opulence and material prosperity, any household is home where the devotees of the Lord are never allowed to come in, and where there is no water for washing their feet, is to be considered a tree in which all venomous serpents live. Here the importance of identifying with the devotees of the Lord really defines the quality of a person. Yes, someone may be rich, someone may be prosperous, his home may be opulent, but what makes that home a transcendental airplane that takes one to the spiritual world, or what makes it a griha andakupam, a well in which one simply falls down into the lower regions? And the answer is our identification with the Vaishnav devotees of the Lord. From a practical point of view, a Brahmin, a Vaishnav, a religious person recognizes that everything is the property of the Supreme Lord, Bhuktaram, Yakatasam, Sarvalokameshwaram. He owns everything. But how does that translate into practical day-to-day affairs for conditioned souls who are not so much in touch with the Supreme Lord, certainly don't see him? The answer is that they try to exercise this consciousness of everything belongs to the Lord by offering it to the Lord's representatives. In the same way that, for instance, taxes belong to the government, but it's neither the state as a whole nor the president or prime minister who come to collect tax, but there is a tax office. There are tax collectors. And one naturally puts aside that which is the quota of the government and either directly pays or wait until it's being collected. In other words, there's a practical personal connection. Vaishnavas are, you could say, the tax collectors of the Lord. And that's not just collecting the 10% or 50% or whatever percent that a grihastha should give to the Vaishnava Brahmins for furthering the mission of the Lord, but actually the entire conception of manas, deha, geha, gyoki, chumur, my home, my family, my wife, my children, my property, my animals, my wealth and business, arpinu tu apalinande kishore, that I'm offering this directly to the Lord. That type of consciousness is more than just speaking the words. It's something that needs to be cultivated. And as much as we cultivate the consciousness of being Krishna's servants by offering everything that we eat to him, in the same way we should offer everything that we have in form of a gesture, at least, and practically, of course, by dovetailing to Krishna's representatives. For that, it means that one invites the devotees of the Lord to one's home. One feeds the Vaishnavas. Here, the emphasis is given washing the lotus feet of Vaishnavas who come to one's home. I've been many times to the homes of prosperous or not such prosperous people of Indian origin, and they often use this term, this is your house. Now, obviously, they may not be thinking like that all the time, but they cultivate the consciousness that kind of terminology represents by treating their guests, treating Vaishnavas like that. And if we make the effort to cultivate side by side with chanting Hare Krishna, then the result will be good. And if we don't, then what's the result? Well, here in this verse it says, then the home is like a tree in which all venomous serpents live. So if you can just imagine that concept, that you have a house, and underneath your house there's a pit of venomous snakes, and obviously they come up, and as you're coming and going, they bite you, as well as your livestock, your family members. So your house is then what? Your house is just a source of pain, misery, and suffering. Obviously, someone would want to move out of that house. You would not stay in a house. Either you get rid of the snakes, or if they can't be gotten rid of, you move to another place where your life is not in danger. So, same way, if our consciousness is like this, that devotees of the Lord are never allowed to come in. There's no water for washing their feet. And of course, these two phrases are also representative of a certain consciousness. Not that, well, once in a while I let someone come in and I go through the exercise of washing their feet, but actually the consciousness that lies behind it, that yes, Vaishnavas are the representatives of the Lord. Then that house that we live in, it becomes actually a source of spiritual pain. One becomes bitten by the serpents of material existence, and spiritually speaking, as Ishopanishad says, Atmahana, one becomes the killer of one's old soul. So it's neither the house, neither the opulence, neither the family, but it's actually how we relate to them and how we engage them. And for that reason, there needs to be a certain type of insulation. You live in your home. Your home has insulation. It has insulation in the roof, insulation in the walls. And what does that do? Even though you're living in a cold climate or warm climate, you're able to keep a controlled atmosphere inside, because the insulation keeps that atmosphere outside. Even though we're living in Kali Yuga, even though we're living amongst people who don't care for Vaishnavas, who don't care for the Supreme Lord, who just want to enjoy their lives, we can insulate ourselves from their poisonous lifestyle by strict spiritual practices, by the proper consciousness. And the proper consciousness is this: Bhuktaram Jagatapasam. Krishna is the one who should be enjoying the results of all my activities. Whatever food I have, I offer to him. Whatever funds I raise, I offer for his service. The home that I have is a place in which the Lord resides. I use that home for preaching the Lord's glories. I hold namharas there. I invite Vaishnavas. I worship Vaishnavas. We insulate ourselves by these activities from our home becoming a serpent pit. And of course, it's up to us. Unless we make that type of proactive effort, the natural association with sense objects, especially those which come from our own body, family members, for whom we're dedicating everything, will naturally tend to guide us, drag us down. It's not something that will happen by keeping some kind of middle ground. Strong, Krishna-conscious effort for elevation, detachment, Krishna-conscious engagement of all Ata, Griha, Kshetra, Sutta, Apta, Vatera, of engagement of all of these things in Krishna's service, and then progress in Krishna consciousness is healthy, natural, and takes everyone forward. Fortunately, we have many nice examples of such Krishna conscious grihasthas in the Krishna consciousness movement. So these are the, this is the advice that I think the Kumaras are giving, Kimpritu is saying himself. And he's saying this in opposition to, because this verse started on the contrary, to the previous verse, which says a person who is not very rich and is attached to family life becomes highly glorified when sainted persons are present in his home. The master and servants who are engaged in offering the exalted visitors water, sitting place, and paraphernalia for reception are glorified, and the hope itself is also glorified. So here it says that, all right, you may still be attached to your home, and you may or may not be very rich, but as long as you give facility for that, then your house is glorified, your reception is glorified, you're glorified. Why? Because you're participating in the Vedic process, which is meant to facilitate the spiritual advancement of all householders through proper association and proper identification with Vaishnavas.